The gospel reading today is from Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 to 14, the parable of the wedding banquet. Once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent out other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, look, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, maltreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet.' Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe, and he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" In this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
A number of years ago, when I was the minister on Kangaroo Island, there was a young lad about 16 who turned up to church one evening. Now, nothing strange about that, because he often turned up to church. He was a child of a church-attending family. But what made this moment memorable was that it was about 5:45 in the afternoon. Church started at 5:30, so he turned up at 5:45, 15 minutes late. But it was never late, because it was always Kangaroo Island time. Now, time was just one of those things. But anyway, the church service had started in the afternoon at 5:30, 5:45, and in walks this lad, literally covered from head to toe in brown dust, old jeans and a t-shirt and work boots, and proceeds to sit up the front at the drums and join in the band as if nothing was wrong. Brown dust was lingering in the air after the first song. The guy had come, this lad, literally straight off the tractor and into the ute and drove to church. He would have been, I think, the best dressed worship attendee that I've ever seen, and also the worst. I admire him for coming to worship as he was. But on the other hand, surely he could have had a wash, or he could have put on a clean shirt or a jacket. A clean jacket. Now, there's an interesting thought. Is it important about what one wears, especially when we're talking about going to church or to worship of God and God's grace? Jesus tells a parable, a story. A certain king had a son who sends out invitations to the wedding. Now, in my job, I get to do a lot of weddings. I've been to weddings and I've participated in weddings. I've even attended my own wedding and the wedding of others. On the odd occasion, I've even not been invited to a wedding and turned up to have a look. But when conducting a wedding, I'm often hanging around outside, waiting for the bride. No, no, no. And I notice a bunch of random people gathered in the street, hanging around to have a look, mainly to look at what the bride is wearing. But I'm mostly interested in what these randoms, these sticky beaks, these gatecrashers are wearing. You can tell the invited guests by the suits and the dresses, the hair and even the hats. Christine. But the sticky beaks are often wearing street clothes, or worse, tracky pants and Ugg boots. And some are actually just walking the dog and they happen to be passing by the church or wherever the wedding is. And I'm sure we're all glued to the TV a few years ago when the royal wedding of Will and Kate was on. The invited guests were dressed up in their finest. The top hats and tails, the military outfits, the dresses, the royal robes, the gowns, the frocks, and the hats. And William and Harry were all suited up, standing in Westminster Abbey, waiting for the ceremony to begin. And then that moment arrives, Kate arrives with her flowing dress, and then her younger sister Pippa turns up, coined that dress. And I'm sure we can all remember it. I was going to put a picture up, but I think we know. But let's look at this text today a little bit closer. We're told that everything is ready. Everything is prepared. The king's son is getting married. The invitations are sent out with an RSVP. Notice has been given. The preparations are made and there is ample time. But no response. So the servants are sent out to remind the people that the wedding was on. Nowadays, we'd send a text message, a Facebook message, but the people refused. You know, I'd conduct a wedding almost anywhere and at any time, as a plug, if anyone wants to get married, let me know. Except I'd have to say no or to decline an invitation to a bungee jumping wedding. Or a skydiving wedding, or even a nudist wedding, because I just have nothing to wear. So the king sends out more invitations, more SMS, more text messages, more emails, more Facebooks, telling them that the barbecue is actually on. The drinks are getting warm. The steak is turning from medium rare to well done. But they paid no attention. And the invited guests made light of it and went off and did their own thing. And the king decides to kill them all. The second invitation was sent out to the street people, to the farmers, to the people we read in the story that were both good and bad. And the wedding reception was full. Yay, yippee. All's well that ends well. Well, not quite, you see. For there's someone who gets into this wedding feast who's not wearing a wedding garment. A gatecrasher or a sticky beak. Someone with tracky pants and Ugg boots. Hence the parable of the gatecrasher. During the week I was thinking about and praying about this parable and I was thinking, well, what was Jesus on about? Is it about invitations? Is it about the invitation of God? And is it about invitation and those who refuse? Is it about a mixture of both good and the bad, the invited, the second round guests of invitations? Is it about excuses? Is it even about the gatecrasher? Well, it's probably all of these things mixed into one. But what gets overlooked, I think, is this notion of choice. To accept or not to accept. The invitations are sent, the caterers are catering, the musicians are musicianing, and it's on. The party's underway, the reception is buzzing. But the story Jesus tells about people who choose not to come, or choose not to reply, or choose not to play by the rules. The first lot of invited guests chose not to come. Many of the second round guests choose to attend, and they dress up for the occasion. Hence, within this group, there is someone who's made a choice not to dress up. Have you ever been to a party that's a theme party or a fancy dress party and you haven't been told? And you turn up in your normal gear and everyone else is wearing onesies or rabbit outfits or Halloween or something? It's a bit like that. Within this group, there was one who made a choice, perhaps not to dress up. Well, this guy stands out like a sore thumb, and he gets noticed. And I think there are three scenarios here. The guy is in a hurry, and he had no time to change. A bit like the lad from Kangaroo Island jumping off the tractor into the ute and coming to church, no time to change. Yet scenario one is no cause for him to be kicked out. The king should be grateful that he turned up at all, as I was on that day of the worship. Better late than never. After all, it was Jesus who said that it's not what one looks like on the outside, but what is on the inside that counts. So scenario two, the organisers of the wedding ran out of wedding garments. Poor organisation, I think. Scenario two assumes that wedding garments were handed out at the door and he missed out because of poor organisation. Again, no cause for rejection. Their fault, not his. Scenario number three. He simply chose not to dress up, made a choice, not to change or not to accept the wedding garment. He chose to say, no thanks, not for me, I brought my own, or even, I don't need it, or I don't want it. It's in this third scenario that the mistake comes, when essentially the gatecrasher says, I don't want to play by the rules. I choose not to put on the jacket of God that the king offers me. I choose not to change. Clothing is an important concept in the New Testament, a metaphor for spiritual change. St. Paul writes, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and don't think about how great to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. In 1 Corinthians, the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality. In Colossians, we read, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, and patience. And finally, in 1 Peter, we read, all of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. So being clothed is a New Testament concept of the expression of living God's way. Putting on a jacket. The old clothes have come off and the new has come. And this text confronts us with the paradox of God's free invitation to the banquet. The invitation to come, 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 with no strings attached. You don't have to do anything, just come. And then God's seemingly action that says, kick out the ones that are not wearing the garment. But there's an action and there's a requirement on our behalf. To put on the jacket, to wear it, but not just wear it, but to live it, to live the jacket of God's love, to share it, to embrace others with it. If we put on Christ, then we should live Christ and reflect Christ. The parable, among other things, says that there is an appropriate response. A state of the heart, one which is gratitude. Gratitude, thanks, and praise. An honest and willingness to come under the grace of God means having our heart and our heart, soul, and our intentions in the right place because of the gift of God. We receive the coat of forgiveness, the wedding garment of grace, and the evening dress of love. The garment that covers. It is Christ Jesus who offers us the garment that symbolizes our renewed life and welcome embrace. And I wonder if that garment we refer to today in the story is something like Holy Communion, where we share in bread and wine the symbols that represent healing, love, acceptance, grace, and peace. So like my invitations that are on the fridge, our invitation to God's embrace is already there. It's on the notice board. It's on the computer. It's on our phone. It's on our tablet, wherever it might be. The feast is on. The banquet is now. All is prepared. Forgiveness, new life. The wedding garment is waiting. That's the good news in this parable. And you know, there's no trouble thinking that it won't fit. But it will fit. It will be in our colour to match our hat. It will hide the bumps and the things that hang out. It will not only make us look good, it will make us good. The wearing of the wedding garment indicates an acceptance of God's peace, of God's invitation, of God's grace, a repentant heart and soul and mind, and a heart that is willing to put on the coat of love. It's a heart that says, and simply and deeply, thanks. And yes, I receive. Thanks to our awesome God in Christ for this parable of the wedding feast. Amen.